some of you were here when I mentioned a message that I did at the conference this year that was much better seen than just heard, and because there was a lot of visual demonstration in it. And it's really, in my prayer time, I just know that I know I'm supposed to. Anyway, that message to me was my favorite, my personal favorite that I got to do at the conference. And for some reason, it wasn't a power surge. They tried to find out what caused it, but there was a blip in the electricity right near the end of that message, and it fried the DVD. And they even took it to one of these professional data restoration places, and they couldn't do anything with it. So we didn't blow a fuse. There was no power surge in the area. I think it was the devil.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to redo that one here today. Now, since we're not videoing, and knowing that people are going to be hearing this only, I'm going to really do my best to try and verbally describe what I'm doing. And also, another thing, the only people here who have seen this is Jim and Kathy. So I'm going to get Jim to help me a little bit. And normally I would have other people doing some of the other bits, but I'm going to do them all. Okay? Because I want you to see it. I want you to watch it, okay? Now, what this really is, it's kind of a synopsis, if you will, of this whole conference, which is about discipleship. Let me just say this. We are not going to become His disciple until we begin believing what He said about who we are.
That's right.
It's not going to happen. If you keep believing what your flesh tells you, if you keep believing what your mind tells you, if you keep believing what religion tells you, we are not going to see the same works. There's only been one come from that realm to this realm. There's only one pattern for us to follow. He told us the truth. We have to be renewed to that truth. Now, this message, it's going to seem very simple in some ways. I think it's entertaining. I think you'll like it. But I'm telling you, we're preaching Genesis to maps.
Yeah.
Genesis to maps. This is packed with revelation knowledge. And we don't tend to think in words anyway. We think in pictures. And so the way He's put this together, I think it's going to really help. It's helped me. And it really all started, if you want to know the truth, from the hula hoop message. But anyway, some of you go, what is that? Get the previous tapes. Yeah. Previous tapes. How long will it be? Will I ever get over that? Now, I want to start it with this. This is the very first prophecy that I read, I believe, up here. This came October 12th of this year. It did not come through me. But this is called You Are Not Your Struggles. And I want to read it again so it'll be on this message. I wish I had a printed copy to give each one of you. But this way, if you get the audio message, you can transcribe it yourself if you'd like. I would. I'm telling you. So this prophecy came again October 12th this year. And God does not look at how far you have come in your flesh as to how good of a son or daughter you are. He does not look at how much you have overcome, as if you are a daughter or a son today and not tomorrow. He only looks at it as what it is. It is your flesh. And He expects you to overcome it every day. He expects you to take it to the cross every day. But knowing that you were going to struggle with your flesh, can anyone relate with that? Okay. He could not wait another moment. He did not want to wait until you were perfected in your flesh. He did not want to wait until you get to heaven. So He made a way for you to fellowship with Him as if you were perfect right now, today. The only act it takes is a moment of humility to repent and thank Him for the blood of Jesus, that it washes you today of that sin. And that one act of humility gives you the ability to run into Him, to fellowship with Him, to enjoy Him like you are already in heaven with Him. Let us not waste another day, not another moment of acting like we are not in Him when we already are. You are not your struggles. No matter how big or small they are, you are not your struggles. You are His child.
Amen.
All right. Now, I am not going to be able to turn to all of these verses. We are teaching in extreme macro mode today, okay? Most of the verses I'm going to quote, you know them already. There might be one or two that we'll turn to. But in order to get this picture sometime in the next 4 hours, no, in order to get this overall picture, I'm going to quote many of them or refer to them. And you'll know, we're not doing anything weird, okay? In the beginning. Oh, yeah, you don't know that one? Well, in the very beginning, I'm not going to turn to it today, but in Genesis chapter 1, I believe, right in verse 26, it says, maybe it's chapter 2, I don't. Okay, we're stopping doing that right now. In the beginning, God created man. And when God repeats himself twice, and actually three times in two verses, he's really trying to get something across to us. And he says, in the image of God created he man. Male and female created them. But in, three times he says, in the image of God. He's trying to get something across to us.
Right.
Hebrews tells us that Christ is the express image of God. Isn't that right?
Yes.
All right. Now, God, when he made Adam, was not making another God. He was making a man in the image of God. But this man was to have dominion. This man was to be God's representative on earth. This man was created in the image of God. Well, God is holy. God is righteous. Man was made in the image as a man, in the image of Christ. Christ is the express image of God. And man was to be a duplicate, if you will, in humanity. Now, not in deity. Don't ever get that mixed up. You are never going to be the second member of the Godhead. Just get that straight, okay? But in his humanity, man was originally made to be righteous, holy, with dominion, a chip off the old block, the apple not far from the tree, in the image of God. So I need somebody. First off, I need somebody to represent Christ, and that's really hard, you know, because I need someone pure, someone holy, someone without blemish. Jim Martin, come right over here. Well, with that beard and everything, I mean, you know, besides, he's already seen this, so he has to participate. And see, if I had another stool right here, if this is Christ, if I'm Adam. Now, I know I'm much better looking than Jim, but try and... What would be best if somehow I could clone, if you'll allow me, clone Jim? Adam was made in the image of Jim. No, in the image of Christ. We can have fun, okay?
Yeah.
And that's... Now, Christ is God. Don't get... You know, he's the second... In his deity, we never approach that.
That's right.
But as a man... Adam was made in that image. We don't have a problem with that, right? And righteous and holy and made in the image. And they fellowship and it was great. But see, at the fall of man, what we've not really understood is how far man fell. See, one of the big questions has always been, God, why all of this for thousands of years and Jesus having to go to the cross and all of that? Couldn't you just forgive him? And for years, I didn't really understand that either. Thank God for praying in other tongues and praying the mysteries. One day while I was praying and going through all of that, I had one of those little mini teaching visions. I'm going to have to ask you to hold the mic here in a minute. I had one of those little mini teaching visions, and I saw what happened in Adam's spirit. See, it wasn't just a matter of, oops, oh, I forgive you, and send him on his way, you know. Because what happened when Adam sinned, it says, through that one transgression, death entered into him. Death entered in. Well, there's no death in God. Death entered into him. He wasn't the same anymore. He wasn't made in that image anymore. All of a sudden, he changed into a different kind of creature. Excuse me a moment. He didn't look like Jesus anymore. He didn't look like it anymore. Wait, get his picture. Come on.
I got it.
Oh, sorry. This is why I usually have somebody else do this. Adam's nature changed. I saw this in a picture one time, in a vision. It was worse than this. It had, what I saw, he had like tentacles growing out of his forehead. He had like five eyes and slobber coming out of his mouth and all hunchback, you know. He's all like this, you know. Now, watch religion. See, couldn't you just forgive him? God went and he slayed an animal.
I can't hear you well, Gary.
Okay. Got it. So God went and slayed an... Oh, that is better, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, can you see the picture here, though? Mm-hmm. Is this getting it across?
Yeah.
Now, for benefit... That's right, I got to describe this. I'm wearing a Halloween mask. It looks like a green skeleton. The idea I'm trying to convey, Adam was not the same creature anymore. Once he sinned, we don't realize how far man fell. He was not even made in the image of God anymore. He really had a different father. Later on, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. And so, you know, couldn't you just forgive man? Well, it says that Adam, the first death recorded, says God clothed Adam and Eve with skin. Where did he get that skin? Something had to die. Something innocent had to die. So God did provide, if you'll allow me, forgiveness pointing towards the cross. But did that change the real problem? God's going, I will forgive you. I'm going to provide a way of forgiveness, but son, or you, we got a lot bigger problem than just forgiving you. I want you back the way I originally made you. I don't want to just forgive you and leave you an old sinner, which is what religion keeps telling us we are. I don't want to just leave you like this. This is not how I made you. Son, I want you back. I want you back the way I originally made you. God, I'm getting goosebumps myself. Thank you for the skin. All right, now, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Hallelujah. So now you see the original problem. This is the real dilemma that God has. It's not just a matter of forgiveness. It's a matter of, we got a whole species problem here. We got, because every generation, now once that death entered in, every generation born, that death nature is passed down. We love our kids. Which parent in here taught their kids to lie? I want to see which one of you. Where did nobody, no parent ever taught, but suddenly one day they discover it, don't they?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? It's in that nature that they're born with, and we love them, they're cute, they're cuddly, but they have that nature, and one day it starts to come forward, you know. They just suddenly, all of a sudden, my little lily cakes. My little lily, who can do no wrong. She told Papa a lie. I said, no, say it isn't true. But even she has to be, she's going to have to be born again, see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to be born again, all right? All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. I don't have it here myself. But let me just read it out of yours if it's okay. You do have a real Bible, right? Let me
check. According to you guys, yes.
Yes, thank you. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important that we understand who we are. Your whole spirit and soul and body. Now, God is a spirit. If you are His child, you are a spirit. You have a soul. What is a soul? That's your memories, that's your intellect, that is your emotions are heavily involved there. Now, God also has emotions. We'll talk about that some. But that's where hurts live. That's where bitterness lives. That's where envy lives. There's all kinds of all of that thinking realm. And then you have the physical body. Now, really, when the Bible talks about the flesh, a part of that is talking about the physical appetites of the body. But see, and you can, if we went to Galatians right now and looked at the list, it starts off with adultery. Well, that's easy to see. Fornication, that's easy to see. The fleshly gratification. But later on, it starts talking about envy. You don't envy with your elbow. Where does envy live? You know, Envy is somewhere in that soul compartment, right? So the flesh, the Bible definition of flesh, is not just the physical appetites. It is that. But it's also every unmortified or unrenewed portion. Now, here's another prop I'm bringing up here. We're going to see this in a minute. So I want to look at all three parts of us now. All right. The flesh, I'm going to take... It talks about their spirit, soul, and body. Yes, sir. Now, first off, we're going to look at religion. The fallen condition of man wearing this. I need a young man. Sir, would you come, please? Just for a few minutes. Because if I wear this, they can't hear me. Ah, yes. You son of the devil. Anyway. Now, here's religion. Here's religion. Here's Christ, yes. The image of God. Yes. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here's fallen man. I'm sorry, get on your knees, please. He wants to be like Jesus. But he's got a little problem. For benefit of those that can't see me, he's wearing the Halloween mask. He wants to draw near to God. He wants to become like God. So he starts crawling on hands and knees. And he says, if I pray, can I be like you? No. If I fast, can I be like you? No. What if I give all my goods to the poor? No. Is there anything that I can do to become like you? You can die. This is the dilemma of man. And this is why no religion, no amount of good works, no amount of prayer, no amount of being nice, no amount of anything you can do can change who you are. God had to do something that man cannot do, and that's change who he is. No wonder it is free by grace. Salvation is by grace and by grace alone. Alone. For God so loved us while we were yet sinners. Like this. Christ died for us. And no amount of penance, no amount of whipping yourself on the back, no amount of groveling, no amount of anything. No wonder Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he's talking about by way of the cross. Because he is the last Adam. Only he can change who you are. Cause that old man to die with Christ. And be raised to new life. And be and instantly, Ephesians 4 will tell you that new man is created. And that means from the get-go, in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. From the very image. Now, that doesn't mean he's born all-knowing. He has a lot of things to learn. But he is full-grown when it comes to righteousness and holiness.
Right. Right.
Born fully grown. He knows right from wrong. Yeah. That inner witness is a safe guide. If it says don't go to that movie, don't go to it. This guy has access that your brain don't have.
Yes.
Okay? That's another deal. Don't they look exactly the same? They got the same daddy. Can't you see the resemblance? Is that not good or what? I'm going to let you sit down. Okay, you got this? Now, let's break this up now. Spirit, let's talk about a reborn person. Let's talk about you. Now, I'm going to take your place so you can watch. Same. My spirit man. Look at it. Go to Ephesians 4. This is good for you to see in your Bible. I'm going to use yours since it's handier. I think it's the next page.
23-24.
Yes, thank you. Ephesians 4, verses 23 and 24. Boy, if you underline any verses in your Bible. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. Who is that new man? That's the one that we just looked at. That's the one, when you got born again, instantly this happened. This is not a process. This is an event.
Exactly.
This is an event. And it happens instantly. And it happens free by grace. And it's all God. You had nothing to do with this except receive Him. Repent and receive Him. That's it. And you go from death to life. And it says, that new man, which after God means, that means in His image, is created. And I like to say, from the get-go, instantly, in righteousness and true holiness. This is because of that. When Gary got born again, his spirit, my spirit man, is created in that image of Christ. Now, yesterday we talked about Gary in this ugly building and smoking. And trust me, I had worse things than that. The reason he didn't deal with smoking first, I had worse ones than that that were more deadly to other people. What were they? None yet. But other things that needed to be dealt with quicker. Okay? Now, when he was talking with me the way he talked with me, you will never die. You are mine. You are my son. On and on he's talking. He's not talking to the body of Gary. See, my flesh is not saved. My flesh is fallen. God looked at my skin, my flesh, and it's like he went, even I can't do anything with that. I just call it dead. Okay, I just call it dead. He's not talking to the Gary guy, that the nicotine addict. He's not talking to the sugar addict. He's not talking to the whatever addict. He's not talking to that guy. He's talking to his son.
That's right.
The spirit part of me. The part of me that he is trusting is going to take dominion over that guy. See, I'm the one that God has entrusted to rule over that body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in between... So, now, where does our body belong?
On the cross.
Thank you. Good answer, Pastor. Someone should make him pastor of the church. Hallelujah. I was hoping there was a nail and I found one. Perfect. Aha! That's where that guy belongs every day. For benefit of those that can't see, I hung the Halloween mask on the cross. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? Every day, take up your cross and follow me. What's the purpose of a cross? Where are we supposed to put our flesh? Every day. It is not supposed to be ruling us. He is, when he talks to me like he talked to me and like he talks to you, this very prophecy I read today, I am not my struggles. I am not my flesh over there. That is who I'm struggling against. That's why he says in Galatians again, he says, walk in the Spirit. Let's say it another way. Let your spirit man rule.
Right.
Let your spirit man rule. And you will not walk according to the flesh. All right, now here's the dilemma. We were just talking about this before the service. In between my... Notice it says spirit, soul, and body. In between my flesh and my spirit man, there's this soul guy. I'm a soul man. Anyway. When we get born again, our soul does not get born again. See, God says, I'm going to rebirth your spirit instantly. That is an event. He says, I want you to put your flesh on the cross. That's a daily event that we're supposed to do. What makes it really hard in between those two guys is our soul. That's the intellect. Now, for benefit of those that can't see what I'm doing, I've got a big old garbage bag here. And I've got strongholds in it. This has got strongholds. We've got pictures going on. Okay. And we don't even know what's wrong with us.
That's right.
There's all kinds of things in here. You could have been a lot of women nowadays. I find out a lot of them were molested as children. Maybe your daddy beat you up. You know, you're a guy. Maybe you got bullied or hurt in some way. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Some people grow up in extreme poverty, so they wind up, they got to have money. They got to have money. Some people grow up in chaos, and they got to have every detail in place all the time. I don't know anything. But anyway, we all have these strongholds, and we go, you know, so people that don't have your stronghold, they say, well, just straighten up.
Yeah.
That was me with the cigarettes, you know, with the nicotine. Just straighten up. Well, I didn't even get saved till I was 33, and I started smoking when I was 14.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is to live as an adult without smoking, you know. They said, well, just straighten up, okay? And I knew I should. Don't get me. I never justified it. I always knew it was wrong. I don't mean just. The addiction is what's wrong. Yeah. Be honest with you. It's the addiction that's what's wrong. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. Well, that's the problem. See. Well, just quit. Well, that's easy. You don't have my strongholds. If I follow you around, we may find out some strongholds of your own. You know? And I'll say, quit it, because I'm not doing what you do.
Right.
And you're going to find out that's not so easy.
That's right.
See? Now, the very first message I think we talked about in the Old Testament, there's some types and shadows. When Moses, the first tent of meeting, some translation says the tent of the congregation or the tabernacle. And it was a tent, basically. God would come down there and talk with Moses like a man would talk with his friend face to face. By the way, you are the tent of meeting. God wants to come talk to you face to face. But something would happen before he would do that. And what was that? They would take that flesh and they would put it on the altar. God's fire would fall first, consume the flesh. Then his presence would come and fill the temple. We found the same thing when Solomon, when they dedicated that temple all those years later. Dave taught us eloquently, if you've ever heard him teach on that. He talks about how many thousands of animals were sacrificed, and he calculated it would take so many tanker trucks to haul away the blood. All the sacrifice. What's that representative? Flesh, flesh, flesh put on the altar. And then when the prayer was ended, the fire of God fell and it consumed that flesh. Then the presence of God filled the temple where the priest couldn't even stand up in there. And you think it's coincidence? How many remembers how many trumpeters were in there? 120 trumpeters. Does that number ring a bell? How many were in the upper room on that day? 120. And it said a mighty wind came. And these tongues as of cloven tongues of fire came. See, John the Baptist had said, he that's coming after me, he is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I didn't see the connection for years, but those tongues are the fire. That is the very thing God uses. And what he starts doing, if you allow him, he'll start going into all these areas of the soul where we've got these strongholds. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. As I see the pictures, I'll show them to you. We all, now, for benefit of those that can't see me, I'm going to start my soul in this. Now, my spirit, if I hadn't, just stand there, Elaine, for a minute. My spirit never leaves. My spirit is, where is my spirit? From God's point of view, it is seated at the right hand of God with Christ Jesus. Actually, it says in Christ Jesus, but I don't know how to do that. So I don't want Elaine to have to sit on his lap the whole thing. But anyway, I want you to understand, through this whole process, my spirit is there. When God talks to me, he's talking to my spirit. He is talking to his son, and he's trying to teach me how to take dominion over flesh guy here and how to take dominion over soul guy, if you'll allow me, to where now where I can become unified with him like Jesus said, me, I, and my Father are one. Well, positionally, we already are. And I want you to understand that this process that I'm going to show here, my spirit never leaves. I am seated all the time. I am accepted in the Beloved. He loves me. Now see, I got kids. Anybody got kids? I'm not going to ask you. I had three daughters. They were all teenagers at the same time. They all went into rebellion at the same time. Pray for any family that has three teenage daughters, okay? Now Angie always says I rebelled the least, okay? And she did. But my daughter Amanda, see, I say my daughters were in rebellion. Oh, they were out drinking that beer. Yeah, well, my youngest one was arrested in Mobile, Alabama by the FBI for interstate transportation of stolen firearms. How's that for a little rebellion for you? Okay, I'm not talking little stuff here. She was facing a 12-year prison term. 12 years. She was incarcerated. Did Daddy still love her? I did love her. Was she still my daughter? But she had, of her own choice, removed herself from my protection. She had removed herself from my blessing. I couldn't. They wouldn't even let me go see her but once every other week and on a Thursday, you know. And I mean, by her own choices, she had separated herself from me. Didn't mean I didn't love her. Didn't mean I didn't. I wouldn't do anything for her. It was her choices. And it's a long story. Anyway, God got it all back. She eventually wound up working for the ministry, and it's been wonderful. And she loves God, and we'll probably hear this message. So, okay. What I'm saying is, I don't care how bad we mess up. You're his son. What was his heart for the prodigal? Yeah. See, the elder son thought the daddy should be just so upset he would never even receive that prodigal home. Well, he's out there wasting your money on harlots. He's out. You killed a fatted calf. He's out there. But the only reason that he was like that elder son, he never spent any time with his father. He didn't know his father's heart. I have a series called The Serving Son that would be good for you to hear it if you haven't heard it. But it's like, well, what if that elder son one day says, you know, all I'd ever do is work out in my father's fields. I wonder what it'd be like if I went and spent some time with him. And he stopped by he stopped by the Tim Hortons on the way, and he got a big box of those donuts and some coffee. Come in and said, Dad, let's sit around the dining table. Let's just visit for a while. What's on your heart? And as they would begin to talk, you know, every now and then they'd be talking, but he'd notice his dad would glance out the window down that dusty road, comes up to the house. They'd talk a little while, but every now and then the dad, he'd look out that window again. Finally, the elder son would say, Dad, what are you looking out the window for? Well, I'm just hoping today might be the day. I'm just looking, hoping. Maybe today's the day your brother will come home. I love your brother, my son. I'm looking for the day he comes home. And that elder brother would go, well, I had no idea you felt like that. I thought you'd be mad at him like I am. Mm-hmm. See, God loved us while we were yet sinners. He's everything in this whole gospel is to win skeleton guy back. Can you understand that? The whole thing, I want my son back, and I want him back the way I made him. In full control, in dominion, taking authority. And be honest with you, when we come back, we're not at zero like Adam was. See, there wasn't a lost world for Adam to go in. The whole world was perfect. He wasn't on the same mission. We're not on that till we get a new heaven and a new earth. See, we're on the same mission as the last Adam. When he saves you, he saves you for a purpose. You have got a purpose in the body of Christ. You will find it out if you spend time with Daddy. How do you do that? I would recommend praying in the Holy Ghost. Anyway, now get back to it. That was all free. There's no extra charge. All right. When you first get born again, your spirit man is instantly seated with Christ in heavenly places. As far as God's concerned, you are perfect, righteous, and holy in Him. But your soul, to be honest with you, when you first get born again, is more aligned with skeleton guy. And I got all these strongholds in the bag. And me and skeleton guy, we've been living together for years. You know? I'm going to go ahead and do this again, although Sue tells me to quit it, but I'm going to do it again. The very first week that I got saved, Gary, I mean, it's hard. My spirit, seated in heavenly places, began preaching to me. Come over here. I know he's... My spirit man began preaching to my soul. And he said, it was not preachers from the outside. Preaching started from the inside. See, that's that new nature. And it's telling me, you need to get rid of your pornography collection. And I still remember the argument going on in my soul. Well, are you crazy? Don't you know how much money I have invested in this? I mean, for years I've been collecting this. I didn't always look like this, by the way. I was the guy. I bought the plastic covers to put the magazines in because I wanted to keep them in pristine condition. And I was proud. People would come. I'd get it out and show it to them. I was proud of it, you know. I know. But it wouldn't stop. I couldn't get any peace. I couldn't hardly sleep. This something is preaching at me, and it's not from the outside. It's from the inside. And then the guy that led me to the Lord, he also got me filled with the Holy Ghost. So I didn't know much about it then, but I started praying a little bit in other tongues. I didn't know that was letting the Holy Ghost. Okay, I'm going to let you be the Holy Ghost too. start ruffling through my bag of strongholds. And he's going through there. Pull out pornography. Find it. Find it. I don't know. Just pick one.
All right.
Whatever that is. Donuts! He's going, this has to go. And I'm going, give me that. What do you mean that's got to go? That's mine. What do you mean that's got to go? I got money invested in this. I got years invested. My soul was aligned with Flesh Guy. My soul began that way. And you go, no. New nature won't leave me alone. Holy Ghost won't leave me alone. I keep putting it back in the bag. He keeps taking it back out of the bag. I put it back in the bag. He takes it back out, and I can't sleep. I'm up, and I'm finally, I'm going, all right. I repent. This stronghold is gone. Forever.
Amen.
And when that happened, my soul is a little more aligned with my new nature. My soul, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can you see that? There was a time when I had false doctrine can have a lot of strongholds in you. I was the epitome. I thank God there are no tapes of Gary Carpenter from the 80s, because I was just a little parrot. All I knew was what I'd heard the TV preachers say. Tay? What I heard, Tay. All I knew is what I heard the TV preacher say. So, I mean, you're cursed if you don't this, and you're blessed if you do that, and hundredfold return. What Sue's own sister one time, I gave her a car one time to help make up for this, okay? But anyway, I said to her one time, even God himself can't help you because you don't tithe. No, yeah. But I kept praying in the Holy Ghost, see? You keep praying in the Holy Ghost and you let him start, come back over here. Him with your new nature, I think, they start going through the bag again. And he starts finding false doctrine. And he'll replace it with truth. He began showing me out of, you know, the Word. He's going, no, Jesus bore the curse. He himself became that curse so that it no longer can come on you. What? Well, what do I do now? Oh, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, it was a hard for me to let go of this, though, because it was the only foundation. You know why people resist you so much, even when you're really telling them the truth? It's all they have to stand on. That's why it's line upon line, precept upon precept. He doesn't give you the whole land in a single day. Little by little by little. But if you keep on, eventually, this pan represents the money pan.
Right.
All the false, you know, the hundredfold return, name your seed, cursed if you don't tithe. But eventually, had to go out and start trusting God. And the day that left, my soul moved a little closer, see.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You are not your struggles.
Right.
You didn't put those strongholds in you most of the time. God's not surprised when he finds them there. He knew you had them the day you got saved. He is not against you. He's not judging you. He is doing everything he can to help you get free of every struggle, every stronghold. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. That is the fire. Every hour that you give the Holy Spirit to praying in other tongues, for all practical purposes, you're placing your flesh on the altar and allowing him to start looking through the strongholds. He said, I don't know why I keep doing that. I don't know why I keep failing. Why do I keep falling to that same thing over and over? You don't know. That's why it says, when we know not what to pray for as we ought. I don't know how to, I don't even know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I keep doing that. He does. And he'll start digging through there, not so he'll know it, so you'll know it. That's why Dave often says, people come to him and says, I felt great before I started this praying in tongues. I've been praying in tongues for a while, and I feel like a sheep eating dog. I feel I'm worse now than when I started. And he goes, you're doing it right. The Holy Spirit's going through that stronghold. He's going through there and he's bringing stuff to the surface. And at first you're going, I'm not like that. No, no. Hey, hold that up. He starts showing you, no, I'm not like that. No, no, no. I'm not like that. You pray, pray, pray. This is why people fall out of prayer. Yep. You come in here, you'll see, you'll get a glimpse of one of them. Holy cannoli. You know, God says, deal with it. No. Fall out of prayer for a while. Don't ask me how I know this. And then after a while, though, your hunger. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jim. Jesus, I love you. I want to be like you. I want to be. I guess I want to start praying again. He's probably forgot all about that stronghold. Shandalabaka. Oh, there it is again. This may happen two or three times. Sometimes they quit and they don't ever come back.
Yeah.
But most of them, the reason you're here, you've already been through some of these. Come on. And your hunger still draws you back, doesn't it? And now he's going to take another look in that bag. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God, I'm not like that, am I? Not the real you.
That's right.
You are not your struggles.
That's right. Yeah.
But there's a part of your soul that's not yet been transformed to think like me. I will empower you, and he does. Yeah, that doesn't mean it. Sometimes it's with difficulty.
That's right.
Sometimes it's with withdrawals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the testimony about Mike O'Brien. Wasn't easy to come back. Get on his knees. Repent. It's not easy. But whatever is required. But when you do it, and you get purged of it, one of these days, people, one of these days, and it won't be long. I'm telling you, Jesus said, Satan cometh, the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. Be my disciple. Be my disciple. You want to be like me? Be my disciple. Take up your cross daily. How many of you knows that guy tries to get off, skeleton guy tries to get off the cross every morning, every day, that sometimes more than once a day, every hour, on the hour, sometimes on the half hour, you know. And you got it, but where we're starting to win this war now is when you start. See, the devil wants you to think you are still skeleton guy. He wants you to think you're your messed up soul, and you are not either one of those things. You are his child.
Yeah. Right.
That's why he talks to you the way he... Alan said it the other day. Alan Taylor is another one of the preachers at the prayer center. He says in the early days when he first moved to the prayer center, he said, I was so afraid to get in the line. The guy had been a preacher for 15 years. Comes to the prayer center, I'm afraid to get in the line. Why? I'm afraid I'll start manifesting. Didn't understand yet. He still thought he was full of devils or... No. It's our soul. It's our soul. James says, receive with meekness, that means teachability, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. This is why one of the four legs of the stool, one of the pillars, is meditation of the word. You've got to get your soul renewed to think like God thinks. If he says you are created righteous and holy, bless God. That's it. When I really get this on my good days, and I'm not saying this is every day yet, when I'm walking in this revelation, I feel like a warrior that day. I feel like a champion. I'm going, flesh, get on that cross. They pass the donuts? No. Where's a carrot?
Yes, yes.
Part of it's confession. I love carrots, so that's a confession. But what I'm saying is I feel like that. Now, we're going to move from that kind of stuff to where is the cancer? I heard there's cancer in the camp. This is not the will of my Father. I was in fellowship with my Father, and he said, today, we're going to cast cancer out. Today, blind eyes are going to open. This is where we're going, church. This is revival. If we don't let him start talking to us, if we keep rejecting what he's saying to us, and say, I am not that. Thank you, sir. I am not. See, he's anal too. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist it. He's picking up the trash. For those of you that can't see what's going on, I threw it on the floor. Okay. You see why this one's better seen than heard?
Yes.
See it? If what the church has been doing, God's trying to talk to us as his children. And we keep going, that's not me.
Yeah, that's right.
No. No. You must be talking to somebody else because I know who I am. Yeah, I know who I am. I'm that guy full of strongholds and all messed up and me and skeleton guy here. No. Must be talking to Jim. No, he's talking to you. You are already in. You are already his child. You are created righteous and holy. He has baptized you with the same Holy Ghost he baptized Jesus with. And all things are possible to us who believe. Now we've got to quit rejecting his voice like religion. Religion, it's only religion that keeps pushing that away. Saying, no, it can't be me. And he's going, it is you. It is you. I've called you. You're my child. You're my child. I've anointed you. I have work for you. I have a position for you. Let me teach you. And let's go forth and conquer in the name of Jesus. God, I'm excited about this. Spirit, soul, body. So say it with me. I am a spirit. God is my Father.
God is
a spirit. I am his child.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul. That's being renewed.
To think like God.
I'm wearing a body.
That's dead.
God declared it dead. And I put it on the cross every day.
Right where it belongs.
But I am his child.
And I am not my struggles.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.